Textron sale rumors thicken. Boeing announces production cuts and more layoffs. And Aero Friedrichshafen defies the recession. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 13th, 2009. Wow, the people who took umbrage at skycatchers coming from China are going to need to sit down for this one. It turns out the rumors of Textron being for sale might be more than just hot air. The Wall Street Journal reports Kuwait's Al Watan newspaper disclosed last week that a consortium of companies in the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait have made a $21 a share offer for Textron. That's a healthy premium over the $14 at which it was expected to open this morning on the New York Stock Exchange, and a huge jump from the mid-$3 range it saw last month. And some analysts are saying the plan, which would reportedly involve spinning off Textron's defense divisions to a U.S. purchaser, would make sense. Textron includes operations as diverse as Jacobson Lawnmowers, EasyGo Golf Carts, and Bell Helicopter. Citi investment research analyst Jeffrey T. Sprague tells the Boston Globe, quote, Textron has many pieces which would fit well with other companies, but all of Textron does not fit well with any one company, unquote. Well, including Textron, perhaps. The company has declined comment on what it calls market rumors. Stay tuned. Boeing announced on Thursday it will slash 2010 production rates on its largest and most profitable airliners, and nobody seems surprised. The Seattle Times reports the production cutbacks will lead to further job losses in Everett, Washington by the middle of next year, and the guys making parts for wide-body planes could see layoffs begin by late this year. Boeing isn't talking numbers yet. The company had already announced it wanted to trim 10,000 contractors and employees in 2009. But this goes beyond that. Boeing spokesman Jim Proulx tells The Times the production cuts will bring, quote, employment reductions beyond those already announced, unquote. An executive at one supplier for the 787 program said Boeing no longer plans an aggressive ramp-up once the composite-bodied airliner is certified, due to expected delivery deferrals and outright cancellations due to the sluggish economy. 32 Dreamliner orders have already been canceled so far this year. Despite a weak economy, both organizers and exhibitors say Aero Friedrichshafen in Germany was a big success. The show, which was held April 2nd through the 5th, reports 46,400 visitors from 40 countries passed through the turnstiles. That's up 12% from the last show in 2007, and 70% of attendees this year were pilots. Kenneth Keith of Extra Aircraft commented, quote, this international character makes the Aero very appealing for us, unquote. Aero project manager Thomas Grunwald offered, quote, the Aero has impressively demonstrated that it continues to grow in a difficult market environment and is an important platform and a major mouthpiece for the industry, unquote. The show has been a biennial event. It's now scheduled yearly, every April, through at least 2015. Last week's announcement by U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates that the Obama administration intends to end production of the F-22 Raptor has triggered the expected political frenzy. Regardless of what the Pentagon says it needs, federal lawmakers from districts which benefit economically from production are out scurrying for votes to keep the production line moving past its now scheduled shutdown in 2011. Connecticut's U.S. Senator Chris Dodd and Representative John Larson put in an appearance at Pratt & Whitney's Union Hall in East Hartford Thursday afternoon, assuring workers that Congress can fund the program even over the administration's objections. The F-22 issue looks to become a spectacular public feeding frenzy for the political special interests involved in military procurement and a major test of President Obama's vow to reform that process. The secretary clearly anticipated the political fight ahead when he framed his remarks last week. Quoted by CNN, Gates noted the F-22, which costs $350 million a copy, has not flown a single mission over Iraq or Afghanistan. He called on Congress to, quote, rise above parochial interests and consider what is in the best interests of the nation as a whole, unquote. Up next on ANN, a GA midair over the Everglades prompts a lawsuit. Washington State forms a task force to keep aerospace. And Boeing celebrates a milestone containing lots of sevens. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 13th. I'm Paul Plack. Hey, real quick, if you've ever been listening to these Aerocasts and said to yourself, hey, I could do that, well, here's your chance. Aero News is looking for somebody to be my backup this summer on days when I'm traveling or covering events, and perhaps work into a greater role down the road. If you can write and record newscasts, feel comfortable interviewing newsmakers, know your way around Adobe Audition, have broadband internet access, and work well with deadlines, please get in touch with me by email. The address is paulp@aero-news.net. A veteran oil industry pilot says the last communication heard from a helicopter that crashed in the North Sea earlier this month shook other nearby pilots who heard the radio call, prompting many to be relieved of duty for the rest of the day. The pilot spoke with the UK Telegraph on condition of anonymity. Quote, normally the crew would say mayday, 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 and then provide any other information they could, including their position, what had gone wrong, and any action they intended to take. In this case, all that was said was mayday, mayday, oh, followed by an expletive, then silence. As ANN reported, a Eurocopter EC-225 Super Puma operated by Bond Offshore Helicopters, ditched in the North Sea off Scotland April 1st after a suspected mechanical failure. All 16 souls on board were lost. All the bodies have since been recovered. The family of a pilot lost in a mid-air collision of a Cessna Skyhawk and a Piper Seminole over the Florida Everglades has filed suit against the flight school that owned one of the accident aircraft. 30-year-old Edson Jefferson, a private pilot at the controls of the Cessna, was accompanied by an instructor with Pelican Flight Training Center, based at North Perry Airport in Florida. The Associated Press reports Jefferson's family is suing the owner of the Piper, a nationwide flight school called Airline Transport Professionals, based at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, for an unspecified cash settlement. The two planes came from two different airports to the flight training area before the collision occurred on Saturday evening, December 6th, last year. Jefferson was flying the Skyhawk in preparation for his instrument rating check ride. The pilot of the Seminole was training for his multi-CFI rating. The National Transportation Safety Board reported Jefferson was overheard making position reports on 123.45 MHz, but there were no reports of any radio transmissions heard from the Piper. Each aircraft was occupied by a pilot and flight instructor. All four died in the crash. Last week, we told you about a consulting firm's report that showed Washington State lagging other states and nations in aerospace productivity. Now, Governor Christine Gregoire has announced the formation of a task force of experts from government, aerospace, labor, and education to find ways to keep the state competitive. Washington House Bill 2308 would form the Washington Council on Aerospace. If approved by the state legislature, the new council would be charged with coordinating worker training programs at community and technical colleges, as well as at four-year universities, managing the recruitment of aerospace companies, creating jobs to grow the industry, and providing policy advice to the governor and the legislature. Gregoire commented, quote, this legislation is about making sure we provide a level of service the aerospace industry needs to continue to thrive and grow in Washington state, unquote. Boeing spokesman Bernard Choi welcomed the task force idea. The Washington State Labor Council has noted, though, that the results of that consultant study might be biased because Boeing is also one of the firm's clients. Boeing and longtime customer Air France celebrated significant milestones Friday with the delivery of the 777th Boeing 777. The new 777-300ER is the first to bear a new Air France livery and company brand identity. Aldo Basile, the Boeing VP overseeing European sales, commented, quote, "The 777 continues to offer an unbeatable combination of efficiency, economics, and passenger comfort that places it at the forefront of modern commercial aviation," unquote. The relationship between Air France and Boeing goes back to the early days of the airline, which celebrated its 75th anniversary last year. Boeing proudly notes 56 customers around the world have ordered just over 1,100 777s. Air France operates one of the largest fleets of 777s in the world and was the launch customer for both the 777-300ER and the 777 freighter. Still ahead, prairie dogs run off with $250,000. Returning space travelers downplay orbital disputes. And Node 3 gets its official name tomorrow night. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 13th. I'm Paul Platt. At a small but emotional ceremony on Thursday, 45 New York State troopers and 25 Clarence Center Volunteer Fire Company firefighters and auxiliary members shared memories of the awful night of February 12th and expressed their thanks to a crowd of 60 residents and city workers. The Buffalo News reports State Police Major Christopher Cummings, choking back tears, read a note given to him by families of those lost. Quote, "The respect you've given to us, our families, and especially the respect and dignity you are giving to our loved ones who were on board Continental Flight 3407, is valued and appreciated by all of us," unquote. He then added, quote, "If you were to measure how my troopers performed, this is the ultimate gauge," unquote. In turn, he thanked the community, quote, "You gave us 12 days of hot meals, coffee, and a warm place to go at the fire hall, as well as words of encouragement, and that was a critical component of the operation," unquote. The NTSB has released only a sketchy preliminary report on the crash of Continental Connection Flight 3407, noting that night VFR conditions prevailed and saying nothing about the icing first presumed to have been a factor. Officials at Vance Brand Airport in Longmont, Colorado, admit that their attempts to control the prairie dog population on their grounds has been less than successful. Pilots have been complaining about the critters and their burrows, which could cause bad things to happen to aircraft which stray off the pavement. Now, the Longmont Times Call reports State Airports engineer T.K. Gwynn is recommending the Colorado DOT withhold $250,000 in annual airport grants until the problem is satisfactorily addressed. In addition to the burrowing problem, pilots have expressed concern the rat-sized varmints attract predators, including hawks and eagles, which could be a threat to flying aircraft. Until now, airport management has tried to contain the animals in a fenced area and relocate those who don't cooperate. Well, now, airport manager Tim Barth says improvements to the fence will be completed by the end of the month, and an exterminator will be hired to deal with any stragglers. As the International Space Station gets set to welcome the first of its new double-sized six-man crews, the returning members of Expedition 18 addressed recent reports that the smaller three-man crews have squabbled over issues like whose food is better or who gets to use the bathroom first. The Associated Press reported Russian cosmonaut Gennady Padalka claimed friction between Russian and American astronauts in training has hurt the morale of space station crews. In Friday's interview with U.S. astronaut Michael Fink, Russian cosmonaut Yuri Lonchakov, and American space tourist Charles Simony, the three denied having any problems cooperating in space. Lonchakov commented, quote, "It's called an international space station because people from different nationalities work there. In space, there are no politics. What's decided on Earth is decided on Earth. What we are working in space is completely different. We work things out differently," unquote. Russia is gearing up for an accelerated schedule of Soyuz missions to keep up with the doubling of the crew size. At the same time, the U.S. space shuttle fleet is scheduled to retire next year. And finally, we're starting to get some details on the cooperation between Stephen Colbert's late-night Comedy Central show, The Colbert Report, and NASA regarding the naming of Node 3 of the International Space Station. If you recall, NASA had online voting for a permanent new name for the module. Colbert urged his fans to log write-in votes to call it Colbert. When that name won by a sizable margin over the top NASA suggestion, Serenity, Colbert proclaimed victory, and NASA responded by pointing to fine print which says the vote is not binding. NASA talked of a possible compromise but didn't give any details. Well, now it turns out that tomorrow night, astronaut Sunita Williams will appear on the Colbert Report to take part in the official announcement of the winning name. The show is carried on cable at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The idea that NASA might name Node 3's Commode Colbert is one possibility that was leaked last week, if you'll excuse the expression. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about the frustrating number of airspeed-related accidents and about the moral dilemma you face when you see a pilot who's about to endanger himself and others. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.